Here we go. It's the news. Pardon me. Good morning. It is Tuesday morning. Just as I said, it would be Tuesday morning. 8.07 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, July 25th, 2023. Is it still 2023? I think it's 23. Yeah. As far as I know, it's 23. I don't think I slept too long. It is going to be an interesting show. So I got some right off the top. I got some great news, good news, news that will cause you to celebrate, or maybe I don't know something. It'll cause you to do something. I don't know what, because I'm not licensed to make those kinds of decisions. I have in my cup this morning chai with Cinnabon creamer. And it's still hot because I just made it. I just made it and came down here to my home studio. I have a backup cup this morning. That's the good news. And it is sweet tea made by me. Homemade sweet tea. Ah, it is good stuff. The roof on the house continues to be worked on this morning. So you may hear in the background, you may hear noises. Because it is penetrating through the house, and they decided to put their air compressor out here on the backyard, which is very close to the area where my studio is here. So, needless to say, it is a little noisy environment. But hopefully it won't be just too distracting. I'm probably more distracting than the noise it will be. So. I'm going to jump into just a few things. We have a lot of things going on, a lot of things in the news, a lot of things that I've looked over. And I, just for reference, I want to, I just decided I was going to go over and look at my, I don't want to look at that. So let's look at this. Where did that go? Yeah. Jason Aldean, by the way, let's just start off with this whole thing. It's kind of funny the way the news media, you know, they try to cancel the leftists. They try to cancel somebody, and it makes them more popular on the right. Somebody who stands up for values, stands up for the, and there's a lot of people coming out saying there's nothing racial about this song. There's nothing. They're trying to figure out. I mean, these are people who are even. On both sides of the aisle, they're saying, I think they're gone a little too far on this whole thing. There's nothing racial about this song. CMT's really gone off the deep end here, but hypersensitive about stuff to an extreme. And it's true. CMT's ratings, you do this kind of stuff, and they're just going to go, it just destroys their reputation. People just stop listening. Now, they know that it's a calculated thing that they go, this happens for a while. And here's my opinion of this whole thing. It doesn't say so much about who you are, but it says more about who you're listening to or who you're concerned about. If you are concerned or you think that the majority of people right now are all on board with all the woke stuff and you've got to jump in with this or you're going to be, you know, canceled yourself. You've got to be out on the cutting edge of this thing. It tells me something about who you are, as far as who you listen, what you listen to, and the way you come up with your opinions. Because basically, you're just a person who is tossed to and fro by whatever is out there in the particular social strata at the moment. You're not coming up with logical conclusions based on your own thinking. That's what it amounts to. Because you're just going along with status quo, trying to be, you know, well, I got to cancel this guy. See, I'm talking about the leadership at CMT, at Country Music Television, which is owned by MTV, by the way. I don't know if you don't know that, in case you didn't know that. So the big wigs at the top, it's like they have no idea who their clients are. To sit there and say this, they're going to get away with this kind of thing, is just outrageous. So they cancel him, and it becomes one of the, and his songs hits the top of the charts. Poetic justice here at this point. And as he does this, of course, at the same time, you know, you look at the Bud Light thing. They jump in whole hog on the woke thing. And guess what happens? They lose their shorts over the whole thing. It's the bottom. They lose billions of dollars. I think that the tide is changing. The tide is turning a little bit on this stuff. There's actually over, I think it's the one, I think it's actually in Europe. There's this group called no oil group or whatever it is. Stop oil now, or whatever it is, whatever they're doing. There's another group now that has formed. And they're protesting. They're protesters, and they're going out, and their protest is stop peeing people off. That's what it amounts to. It's and what they do is they show up, that's a counter protest, and they show up at all these protests, and they counter protest them. They disrupt them. They mess with them. They're sitting around talking about how we have to be disruptive because we have to draw attention to make an awareness to the when your house is on fire, you must do what it takes to get people's attention. That's what they're doing now. So now, while they're doing that, you see these people surrounding them, holding hands and peacefully protesting their protest. That's pretty funny. Now, one guy got a little bit violent. He actually assaulted people. He was he's walking out, and they were blocking the street. And now, this is the kind of stuff that's been going on here. This is how ridiculous these people are. They care so much about people. They were blocking a highway, and a lady was trying to get her child to a hospital, and they would not back off. They would not stop. They would not get out of the way. I'll tell you what. If it were my child, I'd probably turn into a very different kind of person than what I would like to be. And you're going to get out of the way. Or you're going to face the consequences. I'm not going to do it maliciously. You made your choice to stand in the highway. You think you've got a right to be there. It's called right to peaceable travel. And I'm going to assume that right. If tire marks have to be over the top of your head, if I've got to get help for my child. You are now, in my opinion, the problem. You're not helping humanity at all. If you don't care about any individuals who need to get somewhere, possibly to work. You know, this is where a lot of this stuff just gets. This is like the censorship issue, which I was talking about this yesterday. I think it was yesterday. It might have been last week. This idea that you have to censor someone because they said some things in the past, and you don't want misinformation shouldn't be allowed to speak because they might give us misinformation. Shouldn't allow them to speak because it's misinformation. Well, you know, here's what you do: you allow them to speak, and then you club them over the head with the facts. But the problem is you have no facts. That's where the problem is. You don't want to engage. You want to ignore it and avoid it. You want to just silence them. Silence! I am the arbiter of truth. You will believe everything I say. There will be no discussion or debate about it. No discourse. This is where we're at. And it's... Of all people, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was fired from the DNC because of her ethics issues concerning Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Still in office, and she's standing up there being the arbiter of truth and dignity and morality and virtue. It's comical, except it's not. It's if it were just a television show, it would be hilarious. But it's not. It's real life, and these people have a great deal of power and influence, obviously worth tens of millions of dollars, according to Joe Biden and Joe and Hunter Biden. They're, wow, man. I tell you what, the news media would be all over it if it were had had anything to do with Trump. And they're trying to make an interesting exchange, in fact, happened between Mike Pence, who is, in my opinion, I think he's proving me right in some things that are going on right now. Namely, the main thing that I think is he's proving me right on is his ability to be a weasel, a cold, calculating, very carefully crafted wordsmith who is nothing but a sneaky little weasel. He is incredibly careful with the way he chooses his words. He's very good at it. And he does it all the time. Recently, there's a little thing called, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer. I'm especially not a lawyer. I'm going to be talking about some legal things, but I do listen to one on YouTube. A very good defense attorney called, his name is Robert Gouveia. And he's very good at communicating and helping to understand legal terms and legal matters. He goes over a lot of these cases. In fact, he was covering the Trump issues right now. Everybody's all happy about the fact that everybody on the left and the right, anybody who understands that this May the Trump court date for May is actually a good thing for Trump, could be potentially, but potentially is a very good thing. And also on the left, they're saying, "Oh, this is a reasonable amount of time. This seems like a good time." They think the court's going to start that the trial's going to start in May. And that's going to give him plenty of time to get him incarcerated before November elections next year. What they don't know is it's very common and it's for normal practice to get a 6-month extension on a court date. That will put the court date to November 20th after the election. Donald Trump will then, if he wins, we'll take office, of course, in January. January 20th, he will be inaugurated and not incarcerated. And the DOJ is going to be changing a lot of things. Now, I guarantee you, if he wins that election, it doesn't really matter. At this point, even Mike Pence supposedly is going to clean house in the DOJ. That's what he says. Because he knows that's a popular talking point, and he knows he's got to be he has to sound aggressive on that case. Because that's where the base is right now. However, I don't know that he will. I'm not sure that he's going to necessarily. It'll probably just be a shuffling of the cards or, you know, rearranging the chairs on the Titanic kind of thing. So Mike Pence makes this statement, and he's very careful. I guarantee you Mike Pence is using these words very carefully, and he's using them very specifically and purposefully. 3 or 4 times in this interview with someone on CNN, he mentions, of course, he always likes to go into, you know, they ask him a question. What do you think of this? Well, you know, as I was traveling around up and down the East Coast this week, went to 10 different events, and I was talking to Stitch. He goes way overboard on his description of he's very careful about. He's constantly campaigning. He was recently, you know, he wrote a book. I don't know if you didn't know it, he wrote a book because he talks about it every time he speaks. Well, that's what I mentioned in my book. I mentioned that in my book. In my book, he says this in his book. Every time he answers a question, it's, well, in my book, I say this. I saw an interview with him. They were trying to ask him some questions, and every question, it was at least 18 times I counted, he said, well, in my book, well, if you read my book, something about his book, 18 times, just like a 3 or 4 minute interview. He's very careful about the way he says things. 10 different events. Now, normally, I would not count the number of events. I would not speak out. I wouldn't say I went to 10 different events this weekend. What I would say is I went to multiple events this weekend and talked to a lot of people, and they were concerned about this, this, and this. That's what I might do. I'm not even sure I would mention the fact that I was out traveling around. You ask me a question, I'm just going to give you an answer. Now, I do tend to be the guy who, you know, you ask me what time it is, I'll probably tell you how to build a watch. I do tend to do that. And I'm sorry for those of you who have to struggle through all that when I talk to you. That's because I'm just a chatterbox. This guy is cold and calculated in this stuff, does it for a reason. Then, not only that, he uses this particular word, and this particular word is very important and critical in the case of Donald Trump. There's a little thing called mens rea. It's mental state or mental intent, the intent of a person. If I were to, oh, let's say I just got off an airplane and I stretch my arms out, stretch them back, and I accidentally hit you. That is not a criminal offense. There was no intent. There was no mens rea. My mental state was not to hurt you. I didn't even know you were there. I don't know who you are. I had nothing against you. I'm not even saying, excuse me, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to hit you. You were kind of in my personal area. You might have saw it coming, but you didn't even see it coming. Doesn't matter whether you saw it coming or not. I hit you. But it wasn't criminal. Now, is there civil liability? Did I break your glasses? Did I hurt your nose? If there's civil liability where there's something was damaged, I can be held liable for that. I was the one in motion. I was in some ways reckless in my stretch because I wasn't paying attention to what my environment was around me, and I accidentally hit somebody. I had no criminal intent. Can't be criminally charged, but civilly you can be held liable for damages. That's my understanding of it. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but that's my understanding of the intent, purpose of that whole thing. Now, having said that, if you use the word reckless is a very important term with regard to what we're talking about here with the Trump case. When Mike Pence twice used the words reckless, it's a legal term, and it gives the prosecution, you will see, they will use this reckless word as their mens rea, as their, that he intentionally was reckless, went against his advisors. Now, he had advisors on both sides of this thing. I'm not going to talk to him on the ones on the other side. Everybody's saying, oh, he had no business saying that the election was that there were anomalies, that there was something wrong with it that needed to be investigated, that there was any path around the January 6th counting of the votes. He had plenty of legal counsel telling him that there was a path to this, that there is a loophole. Why do you think Congress changed the law after January 6th? Because there was an open loophole. If there was nothing, if it was really clear and very obvious, why did they have to change something? Why did they have to add something to the election law? They did. They nailed it shut. And that was the path that he would have had. They're going to make sure that never happens again. Of course, now they're going to want it next time, and they're going to open it back up again. I'd be all upset about it. Al Gore was unhinged after the 2000 election with George Bush. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court took the case. But John Roberts decided that, well, we can't do it this time because there'll be riots. Oh, so you're going to allow the riots, the mob, to control the Supreme Court. And of course, now you have Joe Biden who's fighting back against the Supreme Court. This has happened many times in history, throughout the history of this country. Presidents have ignored the rulings of the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court has no ability to enforce anything. There have been several presidents who have had the Supreme Court rule against something that they were directly ordering to have done, and they went ahead and did it anyway because there's no way the Supreme Court could stop them. Now, people who are obeying the orders of that president now know that they're going against the Constitution, which they took. So this is where we run into the problem of this whole thing. You swore an oath to uphold. You didn't swear an oath to be obedient to a president. You swore an oath to be obedient to the Constitution. If the Supreme Court rules on that Constitution, you have now an obligation, in my opinion, to uphold the Supreme Court ruling and not enforce the rules or the act. The president, your commander in chief, is giving you, because they are unconstitutional orders. But everybody goes along because they're scared. They're intimidated by their superiors. And really, it's the superiors, in my opinion, that should be held more liable for that. They should be telling the president. They should be pushing back on the president, saying, "This is unconstitutional. I'm not going to accept it as an order. Court-martial me. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell everybody in my command not to obey this rule because it's unconstitutional." This is what the Oath Keepers organization was all about. Being obedient to their oath and loyal to their oath, not to a political leader. You don't swear an oath to uphold and defend the president's office. I don't know, the Secret Service might, but they also uphold the Constitution as well. Now, this is about the office, not about the man, by the way, too. So we have there's a weird thing happened. I've got to look into this. I just heard news about this yesterday, and everybody's talking about it, but I don't know what, or a lot of people are talking about it. What's really going on? Now, Obama's personal chef turns up dead at Martha's Vineyard. He supposedly became a swimmer. I don't know what was going on. I think there's some speculation here that maybe there was a relationship involved. Very well could have been. I don't know. It just seems kind of odd. What's going on? There's a lot of speculation. People are really saying that it's very, very odd, very strange. So I don't know, just someone drowning doesn't seem very strange to me, but there's apparently a lot of circumstances. I'm going to look into it. I don't know. It's just more rumor. And I've had a lot of suspicions about some things with the Obamas for a while, but even before he was elected in 2008. But at this point, it's trivial. Yes. What else can I? I want to talk about the John Kerry thing. I think I've already kind of beat that horse up, I think, a little bit. I'm going to go back to this whole thing about Mike Pence using the word reckless. Reckless is a term, and he used it three times very specifically and very carefully in what he was saying. He made sure that he got that word out there. And he repeated it twice in the first time he responded to a question. He later on in the conversation, he repeated it. He said it again. Used the term reckless. I think he was reckless, but I'm not sure if he was criminal, something to that effect. But he was basically stating that, you know, he was reckless. Because in the way of being reckless, what you're doing is you're saying he intentionally went against his advisors. And, you know, I guess the advisors run the White House, not him. You know, I guess they run the executive branch. If you go against your advisors, then you're, you know, you can be held, you know, responsible for that. It's a good thing John F. Kennedy went against his advisors. We would have had a nuclear war if he would have listened to his military leaders at the time. Because they were advising him something else, and he went a different direction. He picked up the phone and talked directly to Khrushchev or whoever it was. I can't remember who it was. So that's what's going on with that. Now, having said all of that, we have interesting things going on with the Biden crime family here. Biden has changed his story many times throughout the process of all this investigation stuff. One of the first times he was asked about it, I've never had any discussions with my family, my son about his business dealings. I've never discussed my business dealings, my son's business dealings. I don't have any questions with him. I don't discuss anything with him. Then it was something else. I've never been involved in any of his business dealings. Then it's, I've never been in business. Now it's, I've never been in business with my son's son in business. I've never been in business with my son. Now there are obvious phone calls now that are coming up where Hunter was involved in these group calls, conference calls, and Joe Biden was on the line. They were all talking with each other. The reason for hiring Hunter has been very clear from Burisma that they were hiring Hunter because Joe's influence to keep them out of trouble with the United States was first and foremost. In other words, influence. They were getting influenced. They were paying for influence. They had access to the White House. He was compromised. He was making decisions based on being paid for them. This is payola undermining the American people and their representatives. This is absolute criminal conduct. Donald Trump was impeached for trying to get to the truth of this whole thing. Nobody else was investigating it, so he tried to get President Zelensky, believe it or not at the time, trying to get him to look into it a little bit over there. See what you can find out about this. Because this guy's a crook. And he shouldn't be, you know. It was partially about 50% politically motivated, and 50% he just cares about the country, doesn't want this guy to get in office because he's a crook. He's dirty. So I don't know. Mike Pence says he would be very upset if he doesn't want to see it happen. He doesn't want to see Donald Trump be prosecuted. He wants Donald Trump out of the way. I think he thinks that he's actually got a chance if Donald Trump wouldn't be there. And let me tell you, he does not. And the more he says things and does things like, that's not my concern. That's not my concern. I've heard you say this before, Tucker, but that's not my concern. Sorry, Mike, but you're just not winning us over here. I didn't mind him as a governor. I thought he did a good job as a governor, and I didn't really pay much attention, I guess. I never really fully trusted him. I always kind of thought he was kind of a stick in, like, he just kind of, no, he just kind of, was kind of stiff and calculated. I didn't really think he was a very dynamic guy. Wasn't really sure about, you know, I just felt like he was establishment, I guess, more or less. That's what I felt like. And I still believe that, more so probably than ever. But he's very good at playing the middle ground, the calculated speech. Very careful with it. Doesn't want to tick off anybody. That's why it surprised me that he came out with that statement about not being concerned. So, what's ahead in our future here? We have, let's talk about the show first. We have on Wednesday, there is a possibility that there will be a show tomorrow. It is really unlikely at this point. I'm going to try to get a show in at some point tomorrow morning. Now, if I am able to work around the schedule that I'm wanting to work around, there will be a show, and it will be a live show tomorrow morning. It'll be pretty early, but it'll be a live show. Otherwise, it's possible there could be an afternoon show. That's another possibility. Or late morning or after early afternoon show. Now, the rest of the week, if things go the way I think they're going to go, Thursday and Friday, there will be a show, a normal show. I don't know where I will be. I will possibly be in Syracuse, New York for a few days. That's where I'm hoping to be. The other possibilities are just all over the random places. It could be in Fayetteville, Arkansas again. So I don't know. It's everything's kind of up in the air right now as far as to where I'm going to be in the next 4 or 5 days. So it's just, we'll have to see how that works out. And then back again Monday again next week, as we push back into the week. I believe Monday and Tuesday again next week, there will be a normal show. That's what I believe at this point. I have to kind of let me just take a look at my calendar here and see what we have going on. We got, Monday there will be a show. Tuesday and Wednesday, probably not. And then Thursday and Friday, there will be a show. So I'm not sure going into next month. It looks like Friday live shows may be happening once again. That's a very good possibility for the month of August. So the Friday live might be the show. It'll be live. Friday will be Fridays. So there you go. That's what I'm looking at. Now, today's show is going to be a little bit short, cut short. I do have some other things I got to get to today. And I want to get this thing posted. I had a problem getting things posted yesterday because there's some slowness on the interwebs. So I got to kind of do that. If I make the show a little bit shorter, it does tend to upload a little bit quicker, which seems to work out better for everybody because that seems to work. I can get things posted quicker. So it just seems to work better. The files are smaller. But then you get shortchanged because you don't get your money's worth. So, got that going for you. Well, once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing, commenting, sharing the audio here. And I'm gonna look back into this whole thing of doing a video again, live video on Rumble. Rumble's becoming a better platform than it was, and I think maybe I need to start getting involved in that again, and just kind of get my now they got kind of a little bit more of a schedule. It's better than it was. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, folks, have a good week, and hopefully I'll talk to you tomorrow. Otherwise, it'll be Thursday and Friday, possibly. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? God bless, folks. Have a great day. Have a great week. Talk to you later.